Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It's Victory Monday. The Packers dispatching the LA Rams yesterday at Lambeau Field. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur and the coordinators since it's heading into the bye week. The coordinators will get done with their media responsibilities and undoubtedly be given some time off prior to reconvening and getting ready for the stretch run. We'll hear from them. We'll hear from Matt LaFleur. But right now, it's time to hear from you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide. It's what we do here at Cheesehead TV, Monday through Friday. Good to see everybody in the chat, already mixing it up. Shout out Craig. What's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. If you duct taped 20 knives to a bowling ball and had someone whip it at your chest, that would approximate trying to tackle A.J. Dillon in the cold. I like it. I think that's an apt description. Very well done. Accidental Hero, what's up, man? How are you? Dawson, got to confess, I didn't think the O-line was going to hold up. Very impressive. Why do I ever doubt this team? I mean, I understand doubting, especially at that talent level, when you look at what the Rams had to work with. But I thought, as usual, the Packers had a very good game plan, including getting the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly. We talked about that a lot here and on Transplants throughout the week leading up to this game. And for the most part, they did that. Of course, you can't do that every single time, and you are going to find yourselves in some second and third and longs. And when the Packers did, the discrepancy you were worried about definitely showed up. I asked Aaron about that after the game. There's no doubt there were plenty of plays where the line just absolutely collapsed, and that was to be expected in third and 10 or more situations. I thought Aaron Rodgers did a phenomenal job of, it sounds, I know it's like a dirty phrase, but managing the game and knowing in those situations that he could not afford to hold the ball, and he had to get the ball out of his hands, even if he's trying to take a deep shot. There were a number of plays where low percentage, sure, but they're essentially throwaways to avoid the rush and move on to the next play and or a punt, which is, there's no sin in that. But yes, I think the line did great work overall, considering how undermanned they were against a great defensive front. You know, you're never going to stave off the tide, but for the most part, with what they had to work with, phenomenal work all around, no doubt about it. Sly, I really wonder which players will be back after the bye week. We should get some vets back, hopefully. Let it be a pleasant surprise. So many Packers fans, and I'm not singling you out, Sly, but so many Packers fans are so kind of wrapped up in, you know, getting guys back. How about the guys who are already here? Let them get healthy. Because let me tell you, if just the team they have, forget the guys on IR, but the guys they have just get right, man, this team would be cooking with gas. Anything after that is a bonus. Again, you know, like I always have been saying the last couple weeks now, it wasn't too long ago you went on IR, you were done for the year. So yes, Jair, Z, all these tantalizing possibilities are out there, and I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong. I ain't going to thumb my nose at it. Man, the Packers just had a big win with a bunch of guys who put their, you know, put it all out there and are beat up. I mean, the latest one is Randall Cobb. Let's hope there's nothing long-term there. But you know, Darnell Savage obviously tweeted after the game that he's okay. That's good to hear after that cheap shot from the Rams on the onside kick. But just the guys that are on hand, if they can get right, then, boy, howdy, this team will be major trouble down the stretch. What else we got? Good morning, Packers fans worldwide, and, of course, Mr. Nagler. Good morning, Jill. I hope you're well, wherever you're coming to us from. Sandy. How are you? Good morning, everyone. Great W. It was a great W, wasn't it? Jesse, thanks for the super chat. How about the consistency of MVS compared to years past? Super proud. EQ has been stepping up like crazy, too. Lazard has got to start making plays, though. Yeah, Lazard has taken a dip in the playmaking arena, but I think for the most part, he's still a positive. He's still, you know, doing the yeoman's work, dirty work in the running game, and he still provides them an outlet on certain passing situations. But that deep shot on third down, it's a tough one, but you'd like him to come down with it. That's a great throw by Rodgers. That first drive. But for the most part, yeah, MVS, the consistency, super impressive. And it's an extension of what we saw this summer in camp. He was probably the most consistent guy out there day in and day out. And EQ, Aaron made a point of it last night to once again single him out. And, you know, he didn't have a ton of catches yesterday, but he did have one big third down conversion on that out route. Now that's big trust right there from 12. And there's no doubt, seems to be, that, you know, no situation is going to be too big for him to throw it to EQ. And that's major, you know, in the sense of giving defenses another thing to worry about and or another outlet and option for Aaron that he trusts. Man, that only bodes well for the offense going forward. Mr. Steez, thanks for the super chat. Mr. Nagler, good morning. In your analysis, who has the upper hand in 1v1 reps between Mr. Alexander and Mr. Adams? I've gotten in trouble on this before and by Mr. Adams, so I'm not going there. I will only say I think both are awesome. Let's put it that way. I honestly do think Adams probably gets the better of him, say, let's say 6 out of 10 times. I would give a slight advantage to Devontae. But that has no slight to Jair. Jeff, thanks for the super chat. Love Yash's robot. What a job that kid did yesterday. He certainly did. He held up against some premier pass rushing talent. Wasn't always pretty, but he got the job done. And there were times, I mean, yes, of course, they gave him help on occasions, but there were plenty of times when he was soloed up and he held up really well. That's their third string tackle. Say what? Like, has a very, very good performance. Loved your call before the pick six and Alex. Thanks, Mike. You know, you just throw them out there. Eventually, one's going to be right. Right? Good times. Good times. Patineer one. Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron. Thanks for doing this. How did Royce and John Runyon hold up? Thank you. Not great in long passing situations. I think overall they played well, but the interior was like a sieve on third and long, 8 and more. Probably. And that's kind of why I asked Aaron the question I did after the game. And again, it's no knock on them. Those are great players, especially a great in Aaron Donald that they're going up against. It's not a shame. It's not, you know, I'm not hating on it, but there were so many instances in that game where Aaron couldn't even step into his throws because there were bodies all strewn about his feet because the interior was getting bull rushed into his lap, you know? But again, I expected that. I expected that to be the case, and that's why I thought, yeah, they'll probably want to get the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly. And you saw that instantly on that first drive when they threw that first quick stick route to Devontae Adams. That was the MO of the day, to get the ball out of Aaron's hands quickly. But for the most part, other than obvious passing situations where the front could just pin their ears back, I thought they held up really well. I thought they played well. And I thought Newman, for all the issues, and there were a couple of instances where I saw specifically they lined up Donald over Newman to try and take advantage of that situation. And again, long down in distance, he probably got the better of him. But for the most part, he held up okay on regular D&D, right? 1st and 10, 2nd and 8, whatever. It wasn't a masterpiece, but they did the job and they got enough to get the W. That's all that freaking matters. Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. Felt like the score should have been 42 to 10. Oh, it absolutely should have. Aaron said as much. Their problems in the red zone continue. It's absolutely ridiculous. They didn't get more out of that turnover on downs when McVay went for it on his own end. And obviously the defense let that big post route to Jefferson. The safeties clearly bite up on OBJ. They're very concerned about OBJ at that point. And then later in the game, it really looks like Amos is supposed to have safety help over that deep shot to OBJ. So I don't know if he got caught looking in the backfield or what. Maybe he's just playing the sticks because he thinks they're going to try and go down the field methodically. But yeah, two plays, right? Two plays that are busted, kind of like in Minnesota, where you just play those right. Yeah, those points are off the board. And you couple that with a couple red zone trips that maybe are a little bit more successful, and 42-10 makes sense. But that is why you play the game. And that is plenty of stuff for the Packers to work on. The red zone stuff is, to me, the biggest. As you saw, we've talked a lot about their slow starts, and God bless the Green Bay Packers, had the longest drive in the NFL this year to result in a punt. 15-play opening drive, and they punt. I guess, whatever. But at least they move the ball. It's got some rhythm going on their opening drive. Not like the openers are fixed or anything, but you saw a little progress there. Coupled with, you know, a scoring drive last week against Minnesota where they ended up with 3, but they moved the ball. So they're starting to figure some stuff out there. Red zone issue, still a major problem. You just can't keep leaving points on the board like that. I don't know if they need to run it more. They need to be a little bit more creative. I know I've heard people talk about the absence of Tonyan, but it's not like they were lighting it up in the red zone when Tonyan was in there earlier in the season. It's been a year-long problem. So I think they really need to go back to the drawing board there. Accidental Hero, thanks to the super chat. August, we all mispronounce Yosh. Now he schools Von Miller and does the robot, and on the game of the week. Thoughts? My good buddy Yash. He also helped our guy AJ Dillon with his robot. Started him up. That was so dope. That was so dope. We will obviously be talking to Mr. Dillon about that tonight on Carry the G right here on Cheesehead TV. On Culture Barbarian, thanks to the Super Chat. I like the Batman's Rogues Gallery we have on defense. Ra's al Ghul Douglas, Bane Gary, and Killer Clark. Big question is, who is the Joker, Pappies? Well, I think it's obvious it would be Jair if he gets out there. But we're going to have to wait on that one. Matt, thanks for the Super Chat. We had Calf Watch. Now we now bring you Toe Watch. Let's see what's up with his rehab over the bye week, right? Carrie Barry Bishop says, morning, Nags. How bad is Cobb's injury? We don't know yet. Undoubtedly, we will talk to Matt LaFleur about that later this afternoon. He's slated to speak with the media at 4:45 my time, 3:45 Lambeau. Is Yash strictly a left tackle? I think so, Patrick. Yes, that's all he's ever, you know, run at for Green Bay. When the few times he hasn't played left tackle, it's been on like kick protection and things like that. But from scrimmage, I think he's strictly been left tackle. Yeah. Marshall, thanks for the Super Chat. Saw a stat on ESPN that the Packers are 5-1 when Dillon gets 10 plus carries. Nagodamas, also, I hated the cheap shot on Savage on the onside kick. Yeah, I hated it. I get the design of it, trying to, you know, disrupt or whatever the guy's going after the ball. But man, that was cheap as hell. It looked a lot worse live. And you look at the replay, and at least he doesn't go at his head. He does hit him like here, but he snaps his neck back, and it's just ugly. That's some cheap ass nonsense. Craig, thanks for the Super Chat. Is it me, or does Aaron Rodgers seem better when he's injured? He's more likely to hit the check down and rely on the run more. Also, I'm now an owner. Where is the NFL owners meeting this year? Craig, congratulations. A little bit. There was some of that. I remember in 2014 when he had his calf injury and he was forced to play from the pocket. That's what everyone said. It does definitely limit his mobility. He certainly hasn't been trying to escape the pocket the last couple of weeks the way he would normally. But they have still somewhat utilized boot action. It's just the boot play never works. I don't know. I was joking about it on Watch Party. That boot has not worked a single time this season, I don't think. Whereas it was wide open last year and got him a lot of cheap yards. This year, it's never open. Teams have done their homework. It would help if they ran the ball more to make people bite on the action. But that's just me. But yeah, Aaron definitely is playing from the pocket. LT86, thanks for the Super Chat. Just wanted to highlight Ra's al Douglas. Dude has been so good. Hope we re-sign him. Alexander Douglas Stokes going forward. Wow. What a find, right? What if I should have had two interceptions, but obviously we'll take the pick six. Yeah, what a find. Sitting there on the practice squad for Arizona. Anybody could have signed him. We'll take him. I mean, great, great work by the personnel group. Chris, thanks for the Super Chat. Our O-line always steps up when we don't expect them to. Nyman was huge. I'm proud of him. Can we please start to say we are a good O-line factory? I mean, the results speak for themselves as far as the number of guys they've had in and out this year, even last year. The guy Job Stenovich has done cannot be praised enough. We've talked about it a lot here on Packers Daily. There's no doubt. And then you throw in the amount of draft capital that has been spent in the last 2 years along the offensive line. Shout out to Brian Gutekunst, man. You know, those aren't sexy picks when they happen. Fans don't get all excited about highlights, what have you. But that's how you build your line. And don't forget, they've been doing this without Josh Myers, who was a second-round pick. You know, now they've lost Elton Jenkins, another second-round pick. But they've had day three picks coming out there, and Runyon and Newman, etc., doing the work, winning football games. You know, call it a factory if you want. Whatever it is, they are doing. They have the pipeline set between the draft and the development with their staff. O-line is kicking it in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There's zero doubt about that. They know what's up. Because let's face it, that's where games are won and lost. You know, when you're out there with the Jason Spriggs of the world, you're not really giving yourself a fighting chance. And I think Gutekunst wanted to make sure he was never in that position. Matt, thanks for the Super Chat. Aaron, when will we start cooking with gas? So soon. So soon. It's coming. It is coming, my children. The gas cooking is coming. Based on team depth, can we consider Goody a top five talent evaluator among GMs, Mr. Steez? consider them whatever you want. Rankings are not my bag. I know people love to do it. It's the internet. It's how we roll. He's just really good at his job. That's all I know. I put that out there on Twitter last week. I know there's a faction of the fan base who will never forgive him for looking to the future with Jordan Love, but you cannot deny they're out here with third string left tackles and cornerbacks poached from practice squads and winning games, keeping themselves in Super Bowl contention, in the mix for the number one overall seed. He's doing something right. He's pretty fucking good at his job. Yeah, where you rank him with the other evaluators, have at it. Go crazy. I don't care. But yes, he is very good at what he does. Alan, thanks for the super chat. Loving the pundits like Orlovsky applauding, apologizing to Goot, finally acknowledging the solid team he has built. Remember when that whole nonsense happened with Schefter and Rodgers this summer? And literally, Adam Schefter was on television saying this team would be, you know, would win like no games without Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, there's no talent in the Packers. Cheetos, thanks to the super chat. Hey, I didn't see Aaron do the belt. Did I miss it? He didn't because nobody mocked him, right? He doesn't always do it. He's run for touchdowns in the recent past and not done it. I think actually against the Rams last year, I don't think he did it when he had his run. He threw the ball into the heavens and I think yelled at his teammates. I was all pumped up. But yeah, he doesn't always do it. And it's not just because no one mocked it. Sometimes he does it. It's a feel thing from what I gather. Oh, Q King, thanks for the super chat. What a find with Douglas. Combine that with the play of Stokes, King, and possibly Alexander returning. Best secondary in NFL. They got the possibility. The potential is there. They got to stop letting up these big plays. That's 2 weeks in a row now. And as I said on Watch Party, I will say it here. I'll probably say it again on Transplants. You start putting that shit on tape, teams are going to go at you until you stop it. It is going to keep happening. I guarantee it. Until they stop it on a regular basis. Teams are going to keep trying to take those shots. It's 2 weeks now. 2 weeks in a row. It ain't stopping until they stop it. But yes, the potential is there. But that's all it is potential. Dean, thanks for the super chat. Jarrett Bush is my personal fave special teams player of all time. EQ is entering the convo. How about that work from EQ on teams? Both downing the punt and had a tackle later on. Guy is bringing it. Guy is taking pride in his work. Whether that's from scrimmage or on special teams, no doubt about it. You need those guys. You need them. No question about it. What else we got here? Jeezy Baby, thanks for the super chat. Can Rodgers get toe consultation done anywhere? Because since he is unvaxxed, he can't leave the area during the bye week. Well, I'm not sure about the travel restrictions. I know he is very restricted in what he's allowed to do because of the protocols, whether it's bye week or no. But as he said on McAfee, they have the best foot specialist in the country in Green Bay, and Dr. Anderson, who moved his practice up to that Bell and Health kind of area by Titletown. So he could, but I don't think he needs to. So he will be making that car ride over to Bell and. I don't know if Anderson's like practices inside the Bell and building or not, but I think it's in that area because that's where. I think Richard Sherman went there. Dez Bryant went there a couple of years ago. Like if you got a foot thing going on, you go to this guy. He's in Green Bay now. Kyle, thanks for the super chat. Do you think when Z and Bakhtiari are back, it will be a seamless integration or will it take a week or two? With Z, I think it'll be pretty seamless. Like, I think he'll have a pretty good idea of what is required because, you know, we saw, I think, a hint of it, you know, that week one. 18 snap kind of foray into the defense with Bakhtiari. I am interested to see how they handle that because it's not like you can just simulate live snaps and live reps in practice. Can't do it. It's not going to be, he doesn't have a training camp. He doesn't have preseason. He's just literally going to have to practice for a week and then go and play in a game. That's a big jump. So I don't know if they put him out there for the entirety of the game. They probably do. Hopefully get up and are able to pull him in the third, fourth quarter. But I am interested to see how they handle his workload when he does return to the field. Uncultured, thanks to the super chat. This morning's jams are These Eyes by the Guess Who and Couple Days Off by Huey Lewis in the News. Bonus jam is Games People Play by the Alan Parsons Project, Pappies. Whew, great choice on Games People Play. Alan Parsons Project, underrated group. Love them very much. Mickey, thanks to the super chat. Hey, Nags, from the gang from Tuesday's Bar and Grill in New Lisbon, Wisconsin. Here's to Goot and the team he has put together. Mickey, thanks for the super chat. And shout out to Tuesday's Bar and Grill. Fantastic stuff. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Can 12 take the Ronnie Lott option for his toe treatment? He can. He joked about it on McAfee. Just lop it off. Maybe he goes that route. I'd be very surprised if he did that. I would be very surprised. Very, very, very surprised. Callum says, is Alexander coming back? We don't know. Sure looks close, though. There was footage of him at practice the other day doing drills, catching the ball. But, of course, you can do all that, and your shoulder can still be bum. But hopefully. Jesse, thanks for the super chat. Funds for your spotted cow annihilation on the 12th. Jesse, thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. What else we got? Nikki, thanks for the super chat. Rams trying to buy a championship team instead of building one. Ready for more robot. Go, Pack, go. I said it last night. I'll say it again. The Rams play fantasy football. The Green Bay Packers play football. It takes time, investment, development, patience, growth, all of these things which seem to be anathema to lots of teams out there, including the Rams. Talent collection and team building are two very different things. Ryan Gutekunst builds a team, especially when you look at the drafting of offensive linemen, the growing of that offensive line. That's something that you just, you know, you don't see a lot of in today's NFL. It's real easy to go sign guys in free agency, the cap, trade away all your picks, collect a lot of names. No dream team has ever really done it. Now, I know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year are a bit of an anomaly because Tom Brady became a free agent at the exact right time after they had sucked for a decade and then jettisoned their quarterback. And, oh, look, here's one of the all-time greats just happens to be available on the street. If that's your plan, good luck, because that's not much of a plan. But outside of that circumstance, talent collecting isn't going to win you a championship. It's just not how it's done. I mean, I get it, man. Some people are working for owners who want to make headlines and they want to do it a certain way. I get it. Totally get it. That's why I wake up every single day, my feet hit the ground, and I give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ that I was born a Green Bay Packers fan. I don't do that. I'm an atheist. But you know what I mean. I give thanks to the heavens, to the earth, to the love around us, the force. I give thanks to the force that I was born a Packers fan. And they found a way to do it right. Because God knows, can you imagine being a Bears fan or a Rams fan? Ugh. Man. Or, you know, we don't even go down the Cleveland fan, Jacksonville fan, all of that. Forget all that. Packers do it right, man. Thank goodness. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Player potential is greater than players' past accomplishments. Well, it's about development, right? And projection. And that's the biggest thing. And that's where people get tripped up all the time about what guys have done, what pelts they have on the wall, which are great, but what are they doing going forward? And that's the trick. And that's where lots of people get tripped up. Even in the NFL, GMs do it all the time. They sign guys or draft guys or pay guys because of what they've already done instead of what they project them to do. Cowboys used to get in a lot of trouble with that. They've gotten a lot better at it, I think, because they probably pulled the reins away from Jerry a little bit. But that was something they were terrible at for a long time. That's why they didn't get back to the playoffs forever, or haven't been back to the playoffs forever, because they paid guys constantly because Jerry had emotional attachments. He paid for what they had done, not what they were going to do. That's how you remain bad, or even worse, mediocre. You're swimming in the middle, you know? It's about projection. The best in the business, they are able to project and assign value to that projection. It's hard work, man. It ain't easy. Everyone plays fantasy football or has their Madden game, and they think it's, oh, just put the names. No. That's how you get a team like the Rams, who have lost three in a row and have all these stars and have no cohesiveness. I'm making this shit up, man. It's right there. Everyone can see it. Uncultured, thanks to the super chat. Has anyone made a welfare check on Paul Allen after the Vikings lost yesterday? How sweet it is, Pappies. I don't know, but there was a Paul Allen handle in our live chat yesterday for the watch party. It was making me die. It was hilarious. Something about Paul Allen's cow. I don't know. All right, everybody. I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on Packers Daily. Please do me a monster favor and hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Please join us tonight. AJ Dillon, carry the G right here on Cheesehead TV, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Lambeau time. We'll see you tonight. Thanks a lot, everybody. Go Pack, go.